Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Lord said, "Your statements are certainly getting better and better one after the other, but surpassing all of them is another transcendental mellow, and you can speak of that as the most sublime." Ramananda Roy then replied, "Conjugal attachment for Krishna is the topmost position in love of Godhead." Purport. In general, love of Godhead is devoid of the intimacy of ownership. In the case of love in servitude, there is a want of confidence. There is a want of increased affection in the fraternal relationship. And even when this affection increases in the parental relationship, there is nonetheless a want of complete freedom. However, when one becomes a conjugal lover of Krishna, everything lacking in the other relationship is completely manifest. Love of Godhead lacks nothing in the conjugal stage. The summary of this verse is that parental love of Godhead is certainly higher than fraternal love, and that conjugal love is higher yet. It was when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Ramananda Rai to go further that he came to the point of conjugal relationship, which is the highest perfectional stage of transcendental love. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Malitanjena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutala Svayam Rupakaramayam Daratisvaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapata Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shri Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitam Sajivam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Vada Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishapanu Sutu Devi Pranamami Aripri Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Vichapatitanam Pavnibhi Vaishnabhya Namo Namo. So, it's a very esoteric subject matter, conjugal love. So, just wanted to find out who's here for the first time. They can't be in the room. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I mean, for the first time in Krishna consciousness, know about Krishna consciousness. It's very, very difficult to understand the subject matter. Okay, maybe put it this way. Who does not believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Don't put your hands up, Taruna. I know you're looking to. Anyway, and Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning, in 59, he's saying that he used in the translation the word Rahastane is used. So Rahastane means a secluded place. So because Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya had such a very intimate relationship, he wanted to speak of the highest perfectional stage of love of Godhead with Ramananda Roy. And why was Ramananda Roy so close to Lord Chaitanya? Because he was non-different to Vishakha in his pastimes with the gopis. So he had a special attachment, and Ramananda Roy also had a special attachment. And Ramananda Roy was saying, you just being nice to me, you're treating me nicely because Sarva Vama Bhattacharya is giving me his mercy to be with you. So this was the understanding. But Prabhupada says that these confidential matters should not be publicly spoken. I mean, this is public and not public, and everyone here understands that Krishna is the Supreme. So I hope we're okay with speaking about some confidential matters. So, Prabhupada was very careful in big public functions. He never spoke about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna because he was scared that people wouldn't understand the transcendental nature of Krishna and that they would think that he's an ordinary human being and kind of look at the activities of the pastimes in the material world same as the mundane material activities that go on here. So, and at the same time, Lord Chaitanya was very careful as well when he was exhibiting his pastimes. So when he was embracing Ramananda Roy, it was so intimate. They were like embracing each other for a long time. But while embracing, Lord Chaitanya saw that some of the Brahmins, the smarter Brahmins, were looking at him in a strange way, thinking it was some kind of sentiment. So he pulled back just to, you know, he sobered himself from that embrace. But it's very difficult to talk about the, you know, intimate association with like Krishna's wives, the queens, or the gopis in Vrindavan. So we'll leave that. Prabhupada said, in order to spread this movement, the Harinams, the chanting of the holy name, the Harinam should be spread throughout the world. So this is why, you know, our devotees are trying so much to, you know, chant, to take the Harinam party in every street in the town, and they try to encourage devotees, you know, to join, because the more devotees there are, the more ecstatic the kirtans become, like this morning we've seen. So I was thinking in the beginning, the start of this conversation was about Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy, what is the ultimate goal of life? And that was the class I was given in the beginning about Varnashram Dharma. And I'm thinking, Varnashram Dharma starting, and now I'm ending with the conjugal pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Have I qualified yet just by this pastimes? No, not at all. So I'm very unqualified, but somehow I'm sitting on the seat. So just be kind to me. it was about Varnashram Dharma. It was basically about the four Varnas, Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, and the social orders, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Then Lord Chaitanya thought this was external. He said, he said, this is external. Can you just give me more? He's embracing what, it's not like he's saying, you're wrong, Ramananda. I don't want to hear any more, tell me something. But he says, it's okay what you're saying, but whatever you're saying, this is external. Say something more. And then in 63, Ramananda Roy quotes, Sarva Dhammam Parichacha. And that verse, you know, explains how if one surrenders everything to Krishna, if one surrenders to Krishna, then his material desires would come to nil. And the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in due course of time will come. But Lord Chaitanya rejected this as well. Then Ramananda Roy replied, okay, devotional service mixed with knowledge, and this wasn't agreed as well. So Lord Chaitanya rejects that above, and he says, please speak further. He's encouraging and pushing Ramananda Roy to go further and further. So Ramananda Roy said, okay, pure devotional service. This, you know, pure devotional service that is without a touch of speculation, speculative knowledge, and is perfect. But Srila Prabhupada explains that still thinking mentally of what is right and what is wrong is like a flaw in devotional service. And this was also rejected by Lord Chaitanya. Although the impersonal concept of God was thrown out, still mentally you're thinking, am I doing the right thing? And that was Lord Chaitanya asked to please say more. And then in 68, Ramananda Roy says, ecstatic love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the essence of all perfections. Up to this point now, Lord Chaitanya, he didn't reject, but said, if you know more, please tell me. So he's encouraging and he's pushing and pushing because this relationship is so sweet. And even in the translation, you will notice that Srila Prabhupada, you know, there's only two lines in the verse, but Prabhupada like expanded in the translation. You can see he's talking about a lot of things. It's almost like Srila Prabhupada is entering into the pastimes of Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, because he's giving much more than what is written in the two lines. Because he says, conjugal attachment for Krishna is the topmost position in love of Godhead. And he's talking about husband and wife relationship. Obviously, there's two types of conjugal relationship. One is the parikya bhav, married husband and wife relationship. And the other is with the gopis, you know, the resident, the gopis of Vrindavan. So anyway, this ecstatic love of Supreme is the essence, he says. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, but please tell me more. So Ramananda Roy talks about spontaneous devotional service, servitude. And it's funny, like, this is, the servitude is in 71, but Prabhupada talks about servitude, fraternal relationship, parental relationship. So all these were spoken already in 69, 71, you know, as he's going, but he's speaking again about it in this purport. So we'll just go sequentially. So he says, servitude, master and servant, is their highest. By serving the Lord continually, one is freed from material desires and is completely pacified and is joyful. So what are the examples we can think of servitude? I know that all the demigods are like in the mood of servitude. And sometimes they get into a space where they think the masters and they test Krishna himself. But Krishna, by his prowess, he shows who's the master and who's the servant. Like the example given of the pastimes of Lord Brahma stealing the coward boys. And there's another pastimes of Lord Indra creating havoc with sending torrents of rain, and that pastime, and their superiority got curbed. Anything else you can think of? Yes, Prabhu? That's right, he was checked, yeah. Hanuman, what was that part sign? Service. No, who was acting as master? Yeah, we're talking, okay. Anyway, servitude, yeah, master and servant. But there's a type of, there is still like a kind of fear in this relationship. I'll give you a mundane example, like if you're working outside, the boss is not around, isn't it? Everyone's working. He's the boss. He doesn't have to be there. He comes occasionally. He walks in and out. And everyone's working, talking, laughing. You know, they're going, while they're working, they're doing things. But when the boss walks in, people, even though he's kind, he's gentle, he's nice, but their attention goes to what they're doing. They're very conscious, anxious of what they're doing, and they pay attention to what they're doing. So there is a little bit of fear factor there between servitude, you know, the servant and the master. So Ramananda Roy was saying, no, you can go more. You can go more. What can you say? So he mentions the loving service served in fraternity. You know what's fraternity? Being friends, being friends with Krishna. So to become friend like the cowherd boys in Vrindavan is so beautiful. All these pastimes. Anyway, by the way, I just wanted to mention that all the reference research work is from Nectar of Devotion and Krishna books. So whatever I'm saying, if you want to look it up, you can. So yeah, about the cowherd boys fraternity. They had the most beautiful time. That is devoid of all respects for Krishna as the Supreme Lord. They don't even want to know that Krishna is God. They're playing, they're pulling, they're pushing, you know, going on his shoulder and him stealing their lunchbacks. And it's called, the name for this, which is devoid of all respectful attitude, is called Vishramba. So yeah, they're having all so much fun and games. Any other things you can think of with Krishna, with the cowherd boys? How much fun they're having together. How Krishna, how the cowherd boys are seeing Krishna as their equals. Just Prayojana. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokul Nanda Ki Jai.
We talked about the other day how sometimes the children or the friends, they defeat their friends in a play. You know, they're playing wrestling and things like that. And it's a very intimate thing because it is based on friendship. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they hurt each other.
Right.
And Krishna said, no, you hurt me. He plays under the spell of Yoga Maya.
Right.
Because in a way, he doesn't even know himself how Yoga Maya is controlling the situation that he experiences such personal intimacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as you say, it's devoid of this awe and reverence of a feeling that he's God. It's not there.
Mm-hmm.
It's what he wants, you know. He loves this sort of relationship, and it's fun.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you a little story about the cowherd boys. You know, in the early days, we didn't have, we had the Krishna book, the stories about Krishna book, but as Prabhupada would explain, you read the first 9 cantos before you jump to the 10th canto, because this is where all the pastimes of Krishna is. But now we have a very exalted personality that's come about with churning the ocean of nectar, His Holiness, Shivaram Swami. He's got books. If you read those books at the pastimes of Krishna, he takes most of his material from the 6 Goswamis and other acharyas. These stories may not even be in the Srimad Bhagavatam or, you know, the Nectar of Devotion, but these are very super intimate pastimes. And he's the author of quite a few books. If you read those books, it's like, oh my God, you don't want to put it down. It's so amazing. Anyway, this little story I was reading with the cowherd boys, they were playing as usual, and they broke up into 2 parties. As anyone heard about tug-of-war, you know, sometimes you have 2 parties pulling a rope. So they wanted to... And the amazing thing is, all these pastimes that they were performing in Bom of Vrindavan, you know, in this earth planet, it's happening today in the material world. It's unbelievable. When I was reading Krishna book and some of the games they were playing there, it's amazing. Does anyone know about Ludo? the game Ludo. Krishna was playing Ludo. Did you know that? He was playing Ludo. Anyone knows about snakes and ladders? Right. He was playing snakes and ladders. If you read Krishna book, when he was in the school of Sandipani Muni, he was playing all these games. Does anyone know about hopscotch? The boys were playing hopscotch. So I'm thinking everything, this material world is actually a reflection of the spiritual world. All it is just temporary. Everything grows, dwindles, and dies. That's the difference. This material world is actually the back of Krishna, and his front is the spiritual world. So we should see it like that. And so Ramananda, Lord Chaitanya was very impressed, accepted it as very good what he was listening, but pressed further, he said. This is very good, but please go a little further. And then Ramananda Roy replied, okay, parental relationship is the highest. So he quotes Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, and he's thinking, what pious activities did they perform to get this great boon to serve the Supreme Personality of God at such a highest pleasure, serving the Supreme Lord, to be the mother and father, and sucking on the breast of Mother Yashoda, milk from the breast of Mother Yashoda. So in the material world, it's the same kind of concept. It's temporary, it's a little mundane if we're not devotees to see a baby growing up. Once a child is born, you can't, from the baby within the womb to from the time it's out, we're constantly looking as the baby is growing. And this was what Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj was doing, exactly the same thing, waiting to see when the child was smiling, waiting to see when the child was saying a few words, even though it was a few words broken, but it brought so much pleasure to their hearts. And that's what, you know, out there in the material world, the same thing happens. And parents are so, like, absorbed in their child. Every new little thing, even the child says, Mama or Papa, it's like, wow. My child said, called me, you know, they get so excited. So Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda was the same. They were overwhelmed. One time, Nanda Maharaj asked Krishna to bring his shoes, and he put the shoes on his head. He was carrying the shoes on his head. So he did all these things, beautiful pastimes. Anything you can think of that can excite us about childhood pastimes? Anything that you can remember? So many pastimes. Krishna was so beautiful. So when he was a little grown up, he'd go with the cowherd boys to graze the cows. And then when he'd come back, he'd be completely white, full of dust. And his mother would look at him, but she would bathe him with love. And milk would be oozing out. She would be completely wet by the affection and love she had. Just like in the pastimes of even the cows and the calves, when they were running down the hill and they saw Krishna, saw their calves, the cows saw the calves, their udders would be overflowing with milk. They had so much affection. So like this, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda were satisfied. Still, Lord Chaitanya wasn't satisfied. He was speaking so much, you know, Ramananda Roy was saying parental affection is the highest. And in the material world, and we read in Krishna book, we understand, yes, that's the highest, but mother and child affection is very close because we worrying about the child throughout the child's life. So, but Lord Chaitanya replied, then Ramananda Roy replied, okay, in 79 present, it's only 10 minutes now, but I thought I'm going to speak as little as possible on conjugal love. We'll leave it to Premanival, who's giving class next week. So anyway, I'll tell you little stories, but beautiful stories. At last, Ramananda Roy replied, conjugal attachment for Krishna is the topmost position and in love of Godhead. And then there was excitement coming in. I think, I don't know, I'm speculating, but from a little realization, I'm just seeing Prabhupada, you know, from the purport, from the translation I'm reading, Prabhupada is actually entering into this pastime of Radha and Krishna in their conjugal relationship. So, so this conjugal relationship is the topmost. We're going to talk a little bit because this verse is talking about husband and wife relationship, the queens of Dwarka. So we talk more about that than the relationship with the gopis. That is a little higher than, well, you don't say higher and lower in the spiritual realm, the conjugal pastimes. We just say that's on another level. So I just wanted to read a little bit of the pastimes of Krishna's wives, like Rukmini. Rukmini was the queen of, was the daughter of King Bhishmaka. She, through hearing from different sources, from different saints, sages and, that were visiting home, she got very attached to Krishna. She was yearning to marry Krishna. But her brother, Rukma, had other plans for her. And Jarasandha was a friend like to Rukma. And they were planning to marry Rukmini to Shishupal. Rukmini, she had a heart set, completely set on Krishna. She even sent a letter sent it to Krishna to actually come and abduct her, take her away. She wanted to marry him so much. And she actually said where she will be, what time is she, all these things she was giving him. At the proposal, Shishupal was meant to marry Rukmini. And anyone that obstructed that, they had to fight with the person. So many fights went on because Rukmini was so beautiful. She was the most beautiful princess. Princes that would pass that they would just faint. She was that beautiful. And anyway, Krishna did abduct her. He abducted her and he took her to Dwarka and they got married. And then there was Satyabhama. There's another story about Rukmini. I think class finishes at 9 on a Sunday, right? So I might be able to finish all the stories. Then there was Satyabhama. Satyabhama was the daughter of Satrajit, and he had a brother called Prasena. And somehow he managed, the father got a jewel from the sun god. It was called the Shamantaka jewel. Beautiful, effulgent, shiny jewel. And when Satrajit was walking around with this jewel, everyone thought he was the sun god and they started worshipping him. And Krishna mentioned that he should put it in a temple or somewhere to worship. But he didn't do that. And then his brother, Prasena, he wanted to show off. So he took the Shamantaka jewel walking around. And he was walking around in the forest. And then a tiger came and ate him up. Sorry, lion. Okay, thank you. Lion ate Prasena and took the jewel and put it just outside his cave. And then somehow, Jambavan got hold of that jewel. But I'll tell you the story after, but when Krishna retrieved the jewel from Jambavan, after fighting with him for 27 days, then Jambavan realized this is not an ordinary person. He is so powerful, so strong, no one can fight him, only the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he had a realization, this must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he parted with that jewel. And because he was so embarrassed for fighting for so long, he also donated his daughter, Jambavati, to Krishna. So that was another wife. Jambavati became the wife of Krishna. And Krishna never refused. He never refused anyone that wanted to be his wife. So that's how Jambavati became the wife. So when Krishna took this jewel and he wanted to return it to Satyabhama's father, and he was very embarrassed. He was ashamed that he made a false, accusation of Krishna. So he gave his daughter in charity. He gave his daughter as a donation to Krishna with the jewel. So Krishna got Satyabhama as a wife as well. And who else was there? Okay, then there was Rohini. When the Pandavas and the residents of Vrindavan, they went to visit Dwarka, then there was two sides. All the men were talking with the men and all the ladies with the ladies. And then there was a Rohini there as well. Rohini was talking to the representatives of the 16,000 wives that Krishna also saved, you know. And they were saying that the girls were all abducted from various kings by Bhaumasura. Bhaumasura was a demon. He was abducting all the girls and he was putting them into his palace, imprisoning them in his palace. And there were like 16,000, of them in this palace. And this palace was so secure. It had a very high electric fence, it talks about in the Krishna book. It was so high. But Krishna, obviously, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He broke into that and he saved the 16,000 wives. And they were so pleased, but they had this desire. They had this desire to want to marry Krishna, especially like in Vedic times, or even now in the material world, not so much. But in those days, if you were with a man or you stayed overnight with a man, then no other man would want to marry you. That's Vedic. Like Lord Ram, he was Ekapatni. When Ravana kidnapped Sita, well, it was illusory Sita, but when she came back, he was walking around the citizens and he heard one Dobiwala, a washerman, speaking to his wife. He said, "You don't think I'm like Ram, except you," because his wife did something. He said, "You don't think I'm like Ram, she was with Ravana for so long," and he accepted her. And you might find this very, very difficult, but there's this devotee called Chaitanya Charan. He goes into deep philosophy. I'm not very good at, philosophy. He goes into deep philosophy about why Lord Ram banished Sita. Banished. He banished her to the forest where she went to Valmiki's ashram to stay there. And that was when she was pregnant for the twins, Love and Kush. And she went, don't ask me questions on that, but you can go on the web and read that. It's very interesting. So Krishna married the 16,000 wives. And the wives were so engaged in all these palaces. The palace was spotless. It was clean. It was beautiful. There was nothing to do there, but they would be cleaning, they would be dusting, they would be doing all sorts of things. And then the story about Krishna loved to tease his wives. In the material world, there's a kind of teasing going on and fighting. But husband and wife relationship is very intimate. They say once you get married, husband and wife is one person. So it's, you have an ownership. This is my husband, this is my wife, you know. As long as you keep Krishna in the center of your relationship, it's very, very easy to, easy to like maintain Grihastha ashram, you know, with a sober mind. And especially the wives in the house is considered to be Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. And if that is ignored, if the wife is not peaceful in the house, there's no peace or there's no tranquility. It's very difficult. Therefore, Chanaka Pandit says, the wife should be adorned with beautiful clothes, beautiful jewelry. She should be taken care of so nicely that the husband can perform his spiritual duties in this way. And in English they say, the way to a man's heart is through the way through his stomach, you know. Or I would say through the tongue, you know, because the tongue is the most ferocious. If you can feed the husband nice prasadam every day, then taking that nice prasadam, the lusty desires or the, you know, desires in the heart would gradually be minimized or destroyed. So, yeah. So one day, Krishna, he wanted to test his wife, Rukmini, because some of the other wives were a little feisty, you know, especially Satyabhama. And one day when Rukmini got a beautiful flower, the Parijata, then Satyabhama was sulking. She thought, he's got a Parijata flower. She got it from Narada Muni, actually, not even from Krishna. But she was sulking. And then she said, Krishna, Rukmini has got a Parijata flower from Narada Muni. I want one. So what can he do? This Parijata flower came from Lord Indra's garden? Yeah. But he cannot refuse his wife. And then she said, I don't want just a flower. I want the whole plant, you know, the whole thing. But Krishna fulfilled her desires. So I just wanted to mention to husbands that this might be, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can provide his wife with anything. I'm sure in the material world, wives are not that demanding, right? They're good. They're good to their husbands. So I think husbands should be a little, what word should I use? A little, Prabhu, what would you say? Giving, very, quite, sorry? Accommodating, yes, that's the word I was looking for. Husband should be a little accommodating to the wives, fulfill the wives' requirement. After all, she's called Shri. Shri means expansions. She likes hoarding things. It's difficult, but she likes hoarding things. She likes things around her. She likes lots of things. But the thing is, if she is satisfied with just giving her, when the wife takes shelter of the husband and he is spiritually inclined, he's peaceful to carry on with his service to Krishna, meditating, chanting, hearing, and the wife doing service for him in this way, then he is peaceful. He's not, you know, agitated. Even, what's that story? Was it Kardama or Kasyapa Muni with his wife that asked for something? And he created an aerial airplane, a palace, you know, for her pleasure, for her enjoyment. So yeah, Krishna was providing his wife with everything, you know. So yeah, and then she got the flower, and Krishna expected Rukmini to be upset. You know, I just got a flower and she's got a plant, the old plant. But when Krishna was with her, she was sober. She was completely sober, very serene, serving him with a chamara, you know, fanning him. And in his mind, he's thinking, what's wrong with this wife of mine, you know? Why isn't she sulking? Why isn't she like getting upset with me? I went all the way to bring this little flower, not even a flower, a plant for Satyabhama, and she hasn't blinked an eyelid. So he had a plan. He said, now listen to this. This is nectar. He had this dialogue with his wife just to upset her. So he said, when Rukmini had, this is what Krishna says. Krishna said to Rukmini, he started to disclose his lack of qualities. He wants to speak to Rukmini about his lack of qualities. And this is what he's saying. As a husband, he's talking to his wife who's got the chamara and fanning him. Why didn't you marry one of the rich princes that your brother and Jarasandha chose? You know, Shushipal, he's a prince. Why didn't you get married to him? That was his question to her. Just imagine now, after you married your husband, I'm going in and out of the material and the spiritual. You've got to understand that, because it's easier to understand what's going on to the material world and connect it. Just imagine your husband coming one day to you and saying, oh, Devi, why didn't you marry your other boyfriend that you had? You know, why did you choose me? I'm just useless. You know, I have nothing. And anyway, this is what Krishna is saying. And this is when she had children already, grown-up children. And he says, I killed my own uncle, Kamsa. And you chose me as your husband? I'm a killer. He says, don't you know? I don't even know who my real parents are. I don't know whether it's Vasudev or Vasudev or Devaki. I don't know if it's Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. And you choose me? I was reading Krishna book. And the word vagabond was used. Krishna called himself a vagabond. He said, I am just a vagabond. A vagabond is someone that has no qualities, is like useless, no etiquette. So he says, I'm just a vagabond. I married many wives. He says, I got no etiquette. I got so many wives. And I'm trained in a village. I don't know anything about the city life. I'm in a farm, like in a village. And he says, whoever follow me, I just make them cry. They cry all the time, you know. So why did you choose me? And Rukmini was stunned to silence. You know, she was just looking at him. And her hands were going weak. She was so weak. And then the chamara just fell down to the ground. And in a swoon, she just fell down to the ground, like it's explained, like a banana plant. She just fell to the ground. And she fainted. And then Krishna was really shocked at this point. He was like, my dear queen, please, I was only joking with you. He said, I wanted to see your red lips quiver in anger to give me pleasure. I was only joking with you. Please, get up. And he was, she was really upset, especially when he said that, you know, you could have married somebody else when she had older children, you know. Her children were already grown. And Prabhupada explains there that, you know, in Vedic times, there's no divorce or separation. Now you've got older children, you know, how you can leave your husband. And anyway, the Chamara fell, she fell to the ground, and Krishna said he was joking, and he said he was just playing a prank as a husband. Prabhupada says this as well. When there's fights between husband and wife, it should be seen as like two goats fighting with each other with their horns. Or you should see it as lightning and thunder. You see, one day they fight, next day they get together. It's a very intimate relationship. Therefore, Prabhupada says that the other rasas, the other relationships, is devoid of intimacy, of ownership. Only in the husband and wife relationship, there's an ownership that you belong to me and I belong to you. This is how it is. So here, he says, you are my eternal companion. I wanted to irritate you and allow you to make counter arguments to my joking words. I wanted to see you getting angry, but you didn't. But please, I was only joking. Please, And then, after all these sweet words that Krishna was speaking to his beautiful wife, then she rose slowly and understood that he was playing after all. And she was pacified. I'll stop there. Has anyone got anything to add to the class or anything more exciting? Pastimes or anything that they know? There were pastimes, many more pastimes with Krishna's wives, but this is just like a snippet of what I chose. So, anyone? Anything? Yes, Prabhu. Question? Yes, yeah, sure.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the amazing pastimes of Krishna.
Thank you.
I had a question based on the purport, the first sentence of Srila Prabhupada's purport, where he mentions, in general, love of Godhead is devoid of the intimacy of ownership. And the pastimes that you shared, especially of like Satyabhama and Krishna, there's a lot of, like, it seems like there's a lot of ownership, like, oh, you know, like, I'm your wife, so you should do this for me, you should do this, and so on and so forth. So I'm just trying to understand and reconcile that aspect, because we even see with the gopis, there's a lot of ownership that when Krishna's away, they feel like, oh, Krishna should be with us, and so on and so forth. Same with gopas as well. So I'm struggling to understand what Srila Prabhupada is really saying around it should be devoid of the intimacy of ownership.
It's devoid of the intimacy of ownership. Yeah. It means like when you're in the different rasas, like servitude, fraternity, parental, all the other relationships that you are in, there's no ownership like you are mine and I am yours, like in a relationship as husband and wife. When the coward boys are playing with Krishna, at the end of the day, they have to go to their homes and Krishna has to go to his place. And servitude, you're serving with awe and reverence. At the end of the day, you have to go and do your job. And Krishna, he has to oversee. So in the other relationship, there's always like either awe and reverence, master and servant. There's all these relationships. But in the conjugal relationship, husband and wife are almost like on equal level. They are one person together like that. So in conjugal relationship, all the other rasas, as explained in the Nectar of Devotion, all the other rasas are found in conjugal relationship. But servitude, fraternity, and parental relationship, those three can be mixed sometimes. They can be mixed as parental, as friends of, like Yudhisthira. The Pandavas actually saw Krishna as a friend as well as the coward boys. Where on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they saw Krishna in the four-armed form of Vishnu, with all their weapons. And they were like so mesmerized by his beauty that they were merged in ecstasy when they saw that form. They saw him as a friend, you know. So, but they saw his form and they were in ecstasy. So all these other rasas can be mixed, but conjugal love is all these other rasas is included. Is that answer okay? Thank you, Prabhu. Anyone? Yeah, Ian?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for the amazing, wonderful class. I had a question.
Yeah.
So it seems that, you know, like these topics, the conjugal aspect of Krishna consciousness is the essence of our practice. And we're all somewhat like ambassadors. So our job is to kind of go out there and spread these teachings to get people to, in one day, appreciate these intricacies or this devotional depth that is of a conjugal nature.
Right.
Obviously, there's this whole aspect as well of, you know, we don't speak about these things openly, or there's a particular level of adhikar that you're supposed to reach in order to kind of tackle these topics, to be able to be in that kind of mood. But we're, you know, some of us, we fear kind of getting into it because of our perception or still being materially tinged, so we wouldn't be able to look at it from that mood or vision constantly. So my question is, in serving Prabhupada's mission, just like going out and preaching Krishna consciousness, trying to spread the teachings, and then they get the mercy of the sadhus, you know, based on the chain, and they go deeper. By us just doing that and keeping that, do we need to focus on these or get to understand these intricacies as well? Or should they go side by side, that we're gradually trying to have an understanding of what this might mean, simultaneously preaching to get other people to connect with it, or by just by preaching, this realization will manifest? That's my question.
Right. If I understand you, I mean, you spoke quite clearly on the mic. People are hearing online and yet, so I don't have to repeat your question. If I'm answering you wrong, then you can point it out to me, okay? So my understanding is that we should follow Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada's teachings was that you read the first 9 cantos before you jump to the 10th canto. And the 10th canto is where all Krishna's pastimes is told. So saying that, at the same time, in the beginning, they were distributing Krishna books. They were distributing Chaitanya Charitamritas. They were distributing the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So who knows, you know, who knows who is on what level out there? We cannot judge. But as far as for us as devotees, when we join, then we should take it from the beginning. Right? This hearing and chanting is very vitally important. If you hear every day to Srimad Bhagavatam or, you know, read all the time, then you will get, gradually you will get the realizations to understand the books. Now, we were giving out these books. Prabhupada said, if you look at one chapter, you look at one line or even one word of these books, you will get realization, at least the basic to understand Aham Brahmasmi. I'm a spirit soul and not this body. You know, get that understanding. So it's good if we practice like that. You can see even in this verse, today's verse, Ramananda Roy is starting with the social order and the vanas. Basic is Vanashram Dharma is talking about. So although Lord Chaitanya is saying is not, you give me more, he rejects it. But at the same time, it's a systematic process. This whole chapter is the systematic process on how you attain Godhead. Now we come to the conjugal love, and it's explained that's the highest. And if you come more to the classes, my God, I think you will swoon and faint like Rukmini. That is so amazing, because the next chapter is, this is about the queens of Dwarka. Wait till you listen to the pastimes of the gopis in Vrindavan. Okay, yes, Prayojana. Thank you, Yen. Hare Krishna.
I think in a way, to sort of maybe answer part of Ian's question, is the Gogavinda Swami. He said, there's certain things I can't speak to you all in a general sense. But for those of you who want to know more, you speak with your spiritual master.
Mm.
You find out, if you want to go deeper into the understanding. So it's a personal relationship that would there be, if you've got any queries, you don't do necessarily in public, but you take it to your spiritual master if you want to advance on a certain topic.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be discussed in class. So he would treat it in that way. The spiritual master is there if you want to go deeper into a certain matter, he will discuss you in privacy.
Right. Ian is talking about new devotees when you join, right? Yeah. You may not have a spiritual master then, isn't it? Sometimes you may not have a spiritual master
true.
At the point. Initiated, Brahman, then definitely go to your spiritual master.
Yeah.
But when you first join, you take the shelter of the devotees and hearing, right. Chanting like that.
Yeah, but under Shiksha Gurus are here.
Shiksha Guru, yeah, sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Are there for explaining, look. That's later for you.
Right.
First you okay. get to this level of doing 8 rounds before you get straight to 16.
Some can do 16 straight away.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But then they can't keep it up. So, Shiksha Guru, the Shiksha Guru then says, do what you can do that you can do every day, okay. Isn't it?
Yeah.
So you get that sort of advice on different levels, you know. You've still got guru there, whether it be your local Shiksha Guru, producing consciousness, or not, you have an initiated guru. And if you want to go deeper into the matters. So really, guru is there all the time for guidance,
okay.
Shiksha or Diksha, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. I think we'll stop there because 5 minutes walk down there for breakfast. Dantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Radha Gokulanande ki jai. Tai Go Premanande Haribol.